Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week, it's a special edition of Register Radio. Today, we're featuring a roundtable discussion on Georgetown University's decision to honor Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius at a commencement awards event. This has been in the news all week, so we are devoting our entire length of the program today, a full half hour, to talk about the decision and the Catholic reaction to it. With Register Senior Editor Joan Desmond, blogger Patrick Archbold, Dan Burke, Tim Drake, and me, Tom Price, on this special edition of Register Radio. Welcome again to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. Tim, why don't we lead off with you to begin our discussion? As we said, this is certainly very big on the news this week.
Yeah, it is, Tom. Controversy erupted earlier this week with the news that Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius was going to be honored by Georgetown University. She's going to be speaking at an awards ceremony taking place during commencement at the Georgetown Public Policy Institute. And the invitation in many ways is reminiscent of the University of Notre Dame's 2009 invitation to President Barack Obama to speak at their commencement, a decision which drew heavy criticism from the country's bishops and from many in the church. So to help us understand what's going on at Georgetown, we've invited National Catholic Register Senior Editor Joan Frawley Desmond from the Washington metro area and columnist Patrick Archbold from Long Island to join us for a roundtable discussion. Rather than our typical two-segment show, we're going to be devoting the entire show to the controversy at Georgetown. So Joan and Patrick, thanks for being with us on Register Radio to talk about this important topic.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
First of all, Joan, perhaps you could just give us an overview. What's happened at Georgetown and what's at the heart of the controversy?
Well, basically what happened was is on May 4th, a university blog announced that Secretary Sebelius would be speaking at a commencement event on campus. That immediately prompted a petition from the Cardinal Newman Society and protests by a variety of Catholic groups, as well as professors who disagreed with the decision. There are really several issues here. I think the backdrop is the issue of Georgetown's Catholic identity, which has been in question for some time, as it continues to be an elite institution, but according to many critics and backed up with some fairly clear evidence, has moved away from its Catholic identity in terms of faculty hiring, the quality of chaplaincy, and many other issues. On the other hand, Georgetown has maintained the policy supported by the church. It excludes contraceptions from at least the student health plan, and that has really been seen as the last lingering remnant for many critics of Georgetown's Catholicity. Once the announcement occurred, a protest started. Then this week, a group of professors, nine in all, have written a letter petitioning President DeGioia of Georgetown to rescind the offer to Secretary Sebelius. Main issue is that as Secretary of Department of Health and Services, she spearheaded the HHS mandate, which the U.S. bishops have called to be described as a major threat to the free exercise of Catholic institutions, including, of course, Georgetown. Secondly, Sebelius has had a long record as an abortion rights supporter. When she was still governor of Kansas, Archbishop Nauman barred her from communion, and as secretary here in Washington, she has continued her support. Just last November, she headlined a NARAL Pro-Choice America fundraiser where she said, "We are in a war," and I'm afraid some of the Georgetown professors who are now repudiating this invitation say we are in a war, and they think Georgetown should be, where it needs to be on this.
When the announcement was first made, there seemed to be some confusion about Was this at a commencement event or wasn't it? So, Patrick, I'm going to toss this one to you. Is this or is it not a commencement activity? The university says it's not a commencement address, yet it's still clearly an honor taking place during commencement, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. And as Joan indicated, when the announcement was first made on the Georgetown blog, they called it a commencement address. And they subsequently changed that on their announcement, and that's really been the distinction that the communications director at Georgetown has been trying to make, to say this is not a commencement address, it's something else entirely, so there's nothing to see here, move along, these are not the droids you're looking for. You know. But if you take a look at their own publications as to what is in this award ceremony, as they call it, at the Public Policy Institute at Georgetown, at this award ceremony, these students will be having their names announced. They'll be walking across the stage and receiving a diploma.
Yeah, that's a distinction without a difference, right?
It certainly is. It's something that we see from the people like Secretary Sebelius and abortion supporters in general, that they think that changing the name of something absolves them of all responsibility. I mean, we see that with abortion itself. They take a creature with 46 chromosomes, a heart, a brain, fingers and toes, and they decide not to call it a person, they call it a fetus, and that somehow makes all the horribleness of abortion go away. Similarly, they think that by saying it's not a commencement, it's just an award ceremony, that that somehow absolves them of all responsibility.
That, Patrick, sounds like some rationalization that has some sincere intent, but I suspect that there's much more to this rationalization. This isn't a sincere attempt to explain their position, is it?
No, it's an attempt to avoid criticism. That's all it is, saying it's not a commencement, so therefore it's not an honor, and so they're free and clear to have her speak there.
Semantics.
They're trying to edge away from any comparison with the Obama commencement controversy by saying, you know, she is not speaking at a commencement. Thus, it's not the same. They're just trying to parse it in a particular way. And I brought this up in my story this week with Patrick Deneen, the political science professor who initiated the letter campaign, and he just dismissed it entirely. Said, "There's, you know, this is an honor. Anytime you provide a forum or an honor, you're basically recommending this person, the record, and them to the students."
And thereby violating the guidelines that the USCCB formulated.
Yeah.
Isn't that true, Joan?
Yes, correct. The 2004 guidelines told all Catholic institutions to reject any effort to allow individuals who had publicly defied Catholic teaching on serious moral issues, not so much prudential matters where people can agree to disagree, but on serious moral issues in which there is no room for debate, such as abortion.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, I mean, does this differ in any significant way from the Notre Dame invitation to President Barack Obama? Patrick, do you see any big difference?
Well, I do see differences. I mean, first, you have to note that Notre Dame did not only have President Obama, you know, a noted abortion supporter. Not only did they have him as a commencement speaker, they also gave him an honorary degree. So there was no ambiguity about whether it was an honor or not when it comes to what Notre Dame did. With Georgetown, and I think Joan's right, they're trying to avoid comparisons with Notre Dame by first and foremost saying it's not a commencement, and obviously they're not awarding an honorary degree. So those are things I would suppose it would be in Georgetown's favor. However, I think you have to note that the circumstances from just a few years ago when that occurred at Notre Dame, right now we're in the middle of this battle. I mean, we were able to delude ourselves somewhat when President Obama addressed Notre Dame, where he stated in his speech there, and it was touted by the supporters of that invitation, how he would at all costs protect conscience rights. And that was a key focus of his speech then. We now know that not to be the case. And the person that he's basically put in charge of dismantling any and all conscience rights and the rights of religious liberty in this country is the same very person that Georgetown has decided to honor. And a commencement address is an honor, even if there's no degree associated with it. It is an honor. And they've decided to put the person who is, you know, spearheading this effort to take away the religious liberty of Catholics in this country and Catholic institutions. And so you have to look at that and say, in some ways, it's not quite as bad as Notre Dame, but in some ways, it's worse, because this is really the battle of our time, and they've chosen to take the other side.
Yeah, and in doing so, is Georgetown, in essence, doing this purposefully to kind of thumb their noses at the bishops?
The argument made by Patrick Deneen's letter signed by 9 faculty was that it did constitute an endorsement. You know, they described that as shocking and scandalous. As a result, similarly, Robert George, the Princeton professor of jurisprudence and one of the Catholic intellectual leaders in our country, did the same. He said there's no way, in a recent Mayor of Justice post, he said no way it can be seen as anything else. He described it as kind of a bold move. And, of course, what happens is that a Catholic institution is kind of the platform on which this is being played out. So, on one hand, its Catholicity is used to give it additional moral credibility. If they agree to this, then it must be okay, which makes it more scandalous because the institution and its legacy is then being used to attack the legitimate leaders of the church and what they have defined to be a major threat.
It really is rather shocking. And I think we kind of do have to hammer home this fact that any time someone is provided a forum at a Catholic university or college, it is an honor. If any of us were asked to speak at a Catholic college, we would say that was an honor. I just think we have to kind of keep on that point.
Mm-hmm.
Joan, this is Dan. One question regarding the leadership of the church related to all of this. As with Archbishop Naumann and his public stance against what he perceives to be public dissent from the church, surely Cardinal Wuerl is speaking publicly on this and leading the church in this challenge?
Well, as of now, Cardinal Wuerl and his office confirmed that in the last couple of days is not speaking out on this. That situation can change. I can't really speculate as to why he hasn't. It could be that he believes that the internal protests and along with the nudging from the Cardinal Newman Society and elsewhere might ultimately resolve this problem. There is some question. I checked with Pat Riley at the Cardinal Newman Society, because he's such a treasure trove of information, about what's happened in the past on whether a bishop, a local ordinary, has particular authority to challenge the decisions made by a religious order that has, well, ultimately made anyway. It is a Jesuit university, Georgetown. So he told me, he said back in 1991, when Georgetown alumni and students filed the canon law petition in response to the university's approval of the pro-abortion Georgetown University Choice Club, the petition was received by Cardinal Hickey. There was no indication that Cardinal Hickey was not the, quote, competent ecclesiastical authority, end of quote, under Ex Cordia Ecclesiae. He took the matter seriously, then ended up passing it to Rome because the Vatican had recognized Georgetown as its at its founding. So there's some, he suggested here, Riley did, there may be some indication that Georgetown ultimately is under the Vatican's authority, a unique situation for a Catholic university in the United States. And let's not forget, Georgetown is the oldest Catholic university in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So Cardinal Wuerl traditionally has not, he does speak out at times, but I think he likes to see controversies play out as much as possible. That's been his, I guess you could say that has been the record up to now. To be fair, some of this has come up in other areas with so-called Catholic politicians here in Washington, identifying themselves as Catholic, receiving communion, and many people have criticized him and other bishops elsewhere for not publicly stating that these individuals are barred from communion. I've personally been at church when the late Senator Kennedy has been there, of course, Vice President Biden and others, no official statements have been made about whether they should present themselves for communion. It's an ongoing issue, but as I said, Archbishop Naumann did so And I checked in with his office when this controversy erupted to find out if he had any other plans. And they said, well, now that Sebelius is in Washington, it's up to the local ordinary at this point to follow up with any further statements. Okay. That was their point of view.
Okay. Well, we will take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue with our roundtable discussion about the decision of Georgetown to honor HH Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. We have a great roundtable discussion going on, and we'll continue in just a moment here on Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello. I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other. In our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. This is Tom Price along with Joan Desmond, Dan Burke, Patrick Archbold, and Tim Drake on this special roundtable discussion. Tim?
Yes, welcome back to Register Radio. We are talking about the controversy at Georgetown University over their invitation to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, who will be speaking at an awards commencement ceremony at the Georgetown Public Policy Institute. We have with us senior editor with the National Catholic Register, Joan Farley Desmond, and columnist Patrick Archbold. Before the break, we were talking about the local ordinary, Cardinal Wuerl, and the lack of a response at this point to the controversy there. Is it true, Joan, that while the university is a Jesuit university, that the cardinal does have the authority to determine whether an institution within his diocese, archdiocese, can use the term Catholic or not?
You know, I'm not sure about this. I don't know, Pat, if you have more information about it. As I mentioned, that was Patrick Riley's view, was that it's it could go all the way to the Vatican based on a 1991 issue that came up. So, you know, I'm not sure. Certainly, they are in dialogue, and I know, for example, when there was a recent controversies up in New York over a conference promoting dissent on moral issues at a Jesuit university, or at least confusing people about Catholic teaching, if not, actively promoting it, that Cardinal Dolan's office did contact them, and I think spoke with Cardinal Dolan himself, I believe, I couldn't confirm this right now, spoke with the president of that Jesuit university. So that suggests there's at least some level of dialogue. I don't know all the processes that would go on to actually, for the local ordinary to say, this is no longer Catholic. I'm guessing that is a lengthy process.
I'm sure it is a lengthy process, but I do know, I recall that within the past 10 years that did occur at a university somewhere up in the Northeast. I just can't remember which university that was.
There's a New York, a small New York Catholic college that said it was no longer Catholic. That happened in the last couple of years. That was their decision based on a variety of issues that had occurred.
So taking a look at the controversy at Georgetown, there is a petition that the Cardinal Newman Society is advancing, and then the at least nine professors at Georgetown have submitted a letter to the president there. What, has there been any other reaction so far, Patrick?
From outside the university, we've seen, obviously, the Cardinal Newman Society has... come out started a petition to do this. Other organizations have equally protested, and I think in a lot of the Catholic media, there's been quite the hubbub about this. If I might just say on the Cardinal, whether he is the competent ecclesial authority for determining whether Georgetown is Catholic or not, I still think it's if he remains silent on this issue, it's really, really a wasted opportunity. I think there's so much he could do to give legitimacy to the opposition for this honor that Georgetown is bestowing. It's really a shame that that an opportunity like this to really speak forcefully in favor of the Catholic identity of the university is missed.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pat, one thing too that really struck me as I was reporting on this week, there was confirmation that. There are individuals within the Georgetown Public Policy Institute that, definitely have different agendas. They are not acting with the mind of the church. And that was brought to our attention in a post by the Cardinal Newman Society, noting that the former dean of the institute is a Democrat who had run for office in 2008 and received an endorsement from the National Organization for Women because she is a strong abortion rights activist. So why does this matter? Because she's also the one that was moderating a recent university-wide forum with Sandra Fleck, the reproductive rights activist who has met with Democratic leaders to endorse the HHS mandate and then has been actively promoting the repeal of Georgetown's Catholic influence policy, which bars contraception services from the student health plan. So I guess what you say is nature abhors a vacuum. So if there isn't an active effort to bolster Catholic teaching, identity, and even basic First Amendment rights of an institution, then others will take hold of this and promote what they want. And so the irony is that you have this the former dean who, is actively supporting one thing and told the Cardinal Newman Society that she believed that Sibelius was, quote, a great inspiration for the students. Well, if you don't have other individuals offering other examples, other models of inspirational figures, then this model becomes dominant. And as I noticed when I was discussing with Patrick Deneen who else might be part of the group of faculty signing their names to this petition, what really became clear is that many of them feared for their tenure effort.
Wow.
If they went on the record. It's not unusual. Any university, you challenge the administration, your tenure is going to be at risk. That's a reality. The irony is this is a Catholic, still self-identified Catholic institution where if they put their names down, the appearance is that there is some question about what the university does support here.
In this case, Joan, this is Dan, approximately 173 full-time and part-time faculty members at Georgetown, and 99% of them would not sign this mm-hmm. statement. So it seems to me that Georgetown is headed down a very dark path and very clearly indicating that it's not concerned with the bishops of the church. So at what point do we do all that we can do to raise this issue on a local level? I mean, if you're part of that diocese, and I'll throw this out to you, Patrick, what can the local Catholic who is faithful to the church, who may be an alumni to Georgetown, is there anything that can be done on that level, either with encouraging Cardinal World to speak out or encouraging Georgetown as an alumni or a donor? What can we do?
People really wonder, is it too late for Georgetown? Patrick Deneen, who is spearheading this, you know, small effort at Georgetown, you know, to be one of the only voices of sanity there, he is actually leaving the university and going to Notre Dame specifically because he said that Georgetown does not have any Catholic identity left. And President DeGioia, in his letter from a few weeks ago, he has indicated in that letter that when the mandate comes down as official that they need to cover contraceptive coverage for the student body or anybody else at the university, that he will comply with that. Whereas schools like Ave Maria University and Belmont Abbey have said that no way will they ever comply with that. So they've already capitulated there. You know, the few voices of sanity that are there are leaving because there's no Catholic identity. Even if Cardinal Worrell spoke out, is it too late for Georgetown?
Yeah, I mean, that could be part of the calculus. This week I've spoken with a number of individuals looking at the promising signs of reform in Catholic universities. So Catholic faculty, I was told, is one of the key issues, along with reforms within departments where you might have high levels of dissent or a lack of an integrated vision which incorporates the pursuit of truth within a Catholic framework. And I spoke with some others about this, John Zimrak, who has a wonderful guide, the ISI guide, Choosing the Right College, a great guide for people mm-hmm. that need to look at where their children might go across the whole country, Catholic, non-Catholic. So it's a great guide. And he noted that there were a number of even Jesuit universities that had really worked hard on reforming the problem. So we are at a different point. And, of course, Benedict, don't forget, spoke to the U.S. bishops at the ad limina meetings in late 2011 and 2012, emphasizing the Catholic identity of church-affiliated institutions and saying that students had a right to receive the truth.
Joan, we unfortunately have to leave it right there, but this is a breaking story, everybody, so we want to remind you to continue to check out ncregister.com, also ewtnnews.com. I know that we'll be doing radio news links to keep all of our listeners totally informed, and I want to thank everybody for joining us today, especially Joan Desmond, Dan Burke, our favorite blogger, Patrick Archbold, Tim Drake, and everybody. Thank you for joining us for the special roundtable edition of Register Radio. I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church, on the web at ignatius.com.